السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. First and foremost, I would like to apologize on behalf of Sheikh Yasir, hafidhahullah, may Allah preserve him. He is on a particular travel, and he was unable to do the khutbah translation, and so I'm helping him in a sense and doing it on his behalf. I'm sure he may do a better job than myself, but at least something is better than nothing, as they say. The Sheikh Zallah Khadr began his khutbah by reminding himself and us of having taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fearing Allah the way he deserves to be feared. And then he mentioned that the most honorable hour and the best of moments in the history of a believer, it is that moment where he receives his book in his right hand. And this is obviously not in the dunya, this is in the akhirah and the hereafter. And then he quoted the verses from Surah Al-Isra, as to he who receives his book in his right hand, then verily he will say, come on and read my book. I was certain that I would be meeting my accountability, or I will be brought to account. فَهُوَ بِعِيشَةَ رَاضِيَةً. Verily he will be in a pleasant life, he'll be leading a pleasant life. This is one verse. The other verse mentions, as for he who is given his hand, his book in his right hand, then verily he will be accounted swiftly, and he will go back to his family in a state of intense joy. The Shaykh says, commenting on these ayat, that your soul is almost about to leave your body from excitement and happiness. It is a book that you receive from the Almighty, the Most Merciful. Glory be to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the doors of Jannah will be open. And he quoted the verse in the Quran, جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ مُفَتَّحَةٌ لَهُمُ الْأَبْوَابُ. The gardens of Eden, where the doors will be open for them, the gates. And he mentioned that there are 8 gates of Jannah. Everybody knows them. So the people of Salah will be called from the door, the gate of Jannah, for those of Salah. And those of Jihad will be called from the door of Jihad. And those of Sadaqah will be called from the door of Sadaqah. And those of Fasting will be called from the door of Al-Rayyan, which is the name of the door of Jannah for those who used to fast. Of course, the obligatory fasting and the voluntary fasting, like Mondays and Thursdays, every 3 weeks of each month in the middle and what have you, Ashura and other days. And the Shaykh said, and a believer might be called from all 8 doors. If he was such a good brother, I hope inshallah some of us will be qualified. Anyway, the door of Jannah is so large that the distance between each one of the doors, you know, the door has 2 sides, is the distance of 40 years. 40 years between the 2 doors of Jannah. Akbar Nuzwan mentioned, he said, and there shall come a day upon it where it will be full traffic, crowded, the same way, you know, the market, the souq is crowded today. It'll be so crowded with people standing at the door awaiting to enter Jannah, as it was mentioned to him. Then the first group of people who will enter Jannah, they will be special indeed. According to the Bukhari and Muslim hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the first batch to enter Jannah will be in the appearance of the moon on a full night, yani a full moon. When the moon is full, it's beautiful and attractive and appealing, you feel comfortable looking at it, then these brothers and sisters will be in this particular appearance. And then, like the greatest planet that is lit in the sky. So the brother said, O believers in Allah and the last day, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the truthful one, has mentioned that Jannah has 100 degrees, 100 levels. And between each 2 levels is the distance between the heavens and the earth. So Jannah is 100 levels, and each level, the distance between each 2 levels is the distance between the earth and the heavens. That's a lot of space. As it was mentioned in Bukhari, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said that أم الربيع بنت البراء. She was the mother of Haritha. And Haritha رضي الله عنه had died in one of the battles when he was hit by an arrow. So he said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, tell me about Haritha. If he is in Jannah, then I will be patient. And if he is not in Jannah, then I will strive to cry and cry over him." He said, "Oh Ummu Haritha, it is not one Jannah, it is not one garden, it is garden with an S, plural that is, and your son has attained the highest level of Jannah, which is Al-Firdawsul A'la." And in the Sahihain from Hadith of Abi Musa, may Allah be pleased with him, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, two gardens, the silverware, what we call today silverware, the food, the plasticware, or whatever you use today to eat, plates, forks, utensils, they will be from gold, and the jewelry will also be gold. And then there will be another two gardens of the same thing with silver. And the only thing that is preventing the people is to look at their Lord is a veil that He has placed between them. Then he quoted the verse from the Quran, and whoever fears the position of his Lord will have two gardens. فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. So which of the bounties of your Lord do you deny? And we don't deny any of them, our Lord. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned, what is the Jannah made of, you know, construction wise? You know, nowadays you have, you know, cement and bricks and things of this nature. So they asked, what is it made of? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a brick of silver and a brick of gold. The ground, the walls is made of mist. And then the pebbles that usually have the stones that we find on earth will be from pearls and diamonds. And the soil is made of za'faran. It's a kind of a very, you know, pleasant smell. Whoever enters Jannah will be living a lavish life, and he will never despair. He will never be sad afterwards. Once you enter Jannah, you don't have to worry about the renewal of your iqama. You don't have to worry about, you know, maybe you're not the nicest kafir in the world. And you don't have to worry about all the things that we suffer from today. It's just going to be good, inshallah. And then you will abide therein eternally, and you will never die. Your clothes, everybody like the one about iqama, huh? Your clothes will never go bad, and you will always be in the state of youth. So even if you enter today as a Sheba, in Jannah, inshallah, you will be ever youthful. Actually, comes another narration at the age of 33. And you'll be the size of our father Adam, 60 feet. You'll be a big brother, inshallah. Now, if this is the case of Jannah, he said in Jannah there's a tent, khaymah, that is empty, it's vacant inside. Its width is 60 miles. And in each corner, you will have your own family, you know what I mean, and that you will go around, you know, doing whatever you do with all of them. And the brother said, it is for you to imagine, my brother, what this tent is like. Just imagine this tent in Jannah, 60 miles in width, and all of it belongs to you, it and whatever is in it, and you just be going around handling your business. All this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will come across a shajara, a tree. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that you will, the rider, not the one walking, al-raqib, the one using any transportation, a horse, camel, maybe a Ferrari nowadays, you will go under it for 100 years, and you will not finish. You'll be walking under one tree for 100 years. This one Jannah, one tree in Jannah. So don't ask about everything else. And you will not find any heat. There will be no sun, no cold. You know, the temperature will be perfect. You know, room temperature where you don't need any air condition, and at the same time you don't need any, you know, heater if it's cold. If you desire any fruit, then you will get the fruit. As Allah says in the Quran, فِيهِمَا مِن كُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ زَوْجَةٍ. From every fruit there are two pairs. فِيهِمَا فَاكِهَةٌ وَنَقْلٌ وَرُمَانٌ. In it there are fruits. Nakhl is the palm trees, وَرُمَانٌ the palm grenades. وَفَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرَةٌ لَا مَقْطُوعَةٍ وَلَا مَمْنُوعَةٍ. An abundance of fruits. It is not to be stopped. It will never stop where you say, okay, khalas, we're done, no more. You have to go to the bagala. This will never happen. وَلَا مَمْنُوعَةٍ. And you will never be deprived. No one, you will ask for something, it will be said to you, you can't get this today. And the Shaykh said, the fawakih, the fruit, are unlike the fruit of the dunya. The only thing that is similar between them is the name, as Ibn Abbas mentioned in the tafsir. He said the only thing in common between the things we have in the dunya and the things in the hereafter are the names. You call this a fruit, and in Jannah it's also called a fruit. But the only thing in common between them is the type of fruit. As for the essence, they're nothing the same. Absolutely nothing the same. So the name is the same, but the essence is different. So he said, just imagine this kind of tree that has been grown in Jannah. It is watered by the best, most pure water. And verily, if you want to get one of your own, then do not stop saying, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. Wa la ilaha illallah, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Wallahu Akbar, and Allah is the greatest. Because this is your form of sowing and planting your own garden in Jannah through this particular dhikr. And just a comment, it is not just enough to say it, as many of us may do. And you see this very evident with us after the salah, where somebody after the salah will go something like this. You've seen this before, right? This is not really remembrance of Allah. And Subhanallah has a meaning, a very strong meaning, which is glorifying Allah above any imperfection. So a believer must be mindful of the dhikr. So when you say Subhanallah, you really mean Subhanallah. Subhanallah, because look around the creation. And when you say Alhamdulillah for making you a Muslim, for guiding you to Islam, for protecting you from evil, from preserving you and your family, any bounty that Allah bestowed upon you, it deserves to say Alhamdulillah with thought. So you say Subhanallah, 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 then Alhamdulillah, and so forth. Not just to say them, you know, quickly so we can finish the 33 times as we are used to after the salah. Otherwise it may not be as beneficial as it would be if we had thought of it when we were saying it. So these righteous people will get from Jannah whatever food that they desire, and whatever meat, or you know, meat from the birds that you wish for. You will drink from rivers that run without any trench. It's just, it runs on the surface. The river will run on the surface, and you do not have to, and you can direct it in whichever way you want. You can make it go this way, that way, up and down, whatever. It does not require a trench that it travels in. This is what has been mentioned in the narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you direct it whichever way is pleasing to you. And these rivers are made up of pure honey, and delicious wine that does not get you intoxicated, nor does it give you a headache afterwards. Furthermore, you will also make that the taste has not changed, and pure water. The food will be served to you on golden platters, golden plates, golden trays. Everything is made of gold. And it will be presented to you by young men who will be like scattered pearls. Lu'lu' al-maknun, awl-manthur, in different wordings in the Qur'an. They will go around delivering this particular food while you'll be reclining on a very comfortable seat that Allah has placed for the believers. And in it is whatever your soul desires and whatever is pleasing to the eye. وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, and you shall abide therein eternally. So that you will be like a king on bed, and you will have thrones on your head, wearing the most fancy of silk. That's why silk is made prohibited for the Muslim male in the dunya. You don't wear silk because it is the clothing of the people of Jannah, made of green silk. Some of them is thick and some of them is soft. Then the Shaykh said, may Allah bless us all with the glorious Quran. In the second khutbah, he mentioned that this Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen was made for servants the ability to enter Jannah, when he honored them in such a way where they will never be removed from there. And he sent the peace and the blessings and exalted the mention of the Prophet Muhammad, whom Allah has sent as guidance and mercy for all the believers, for all mankind actually. But those who rejected them, they deprived themselves of the mercy, like the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Christians and the Jews. They don't want any mercy, so they will not get any mercy. But the believers, it's mercy for them, where if you follow him, you will enter Jannah bi-idhnillah. If you follow his sunnah, you will earn his intercession, his shafa'ah, on the day of judgment. Not today when he's dead, going to his grave and telling him to give you shafa'ah. There's no shafa'ah there.
The shafa'ah is on the day of judgment. If you were among the inhabitants of the fire because of your sins, but you were keen on following the sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow him to intercede for you along with other righteous people, so you may be taken to paradise. But this is conditional to following the sunnah. Those who don't follow the sunnah, as it comes in the narration, they will come near him and then the angels will keep them away. He will say, my ummah, why are you keeping these brothers away? It will be said to him, you do not know what they introduced into the religion after you. You don't know what kind of bid'ah they introduced. New way of life, new way of living Islam, not according to his way, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not according to his companions, but according to intellectual individuals who believe that they are more guided than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they tell you, no, no, this is how you're supposed to live Islam. You come to me, I will tell you Islam. Although Islam is as it was done by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing more, nothing less. So following the sunnah will guarantee success. Going against the sunnah, we're going to be in trouble today, and we'll be in trouble on the day of judgment. Wallahu musta'an. Then the Shaykh elaborated on the woman that the brothers will have in Jannah, and I think it is befitting to disregard this particular aspect of the khutbah because of the nature of the audience inshallah, and I believe there are sisters upstairs as well. But let's focus on the other aspect, seeing Allah. Who believes that the Muslims will see Allah in Jannah? Raise your hand. Alhamdulillah. You're upon the guidance, because there are many Muslims who deny that. Unfortunately today, many Muslims, they have books compiled, they have websites that propagate this particular teaching. They say, you cannot say that you will see Allah. Because they think if you say that you will see Allah, meaning you're making Allah like His creation, and Allah is not like His creation, so they deny the ru'ya. Although we have many verses in the Quran and the Hadith, clear like the sun, that the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Regarding this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from Hadith Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, verily Allah will tell the believers on the day of judgment. Actually, he will tell the inhabitants of Jannah, after they have entered Jannah, he will say, O people of Jannah, they will say, Labbayka Rabbana wa sa'dayk. Here we are, our Lord, here we are. This is what Labbayka means. He will say to them, are you pleased? Are you satisfied that you have entered Jannah? They will say, how could we not be pleased? How could we not be pleased? And you have given us what you have not given any of your creation. You've allowed us to Jannah. He will say, shall I not give you what is better than that? They will say, and what is better than that, O Allah? He will say, I will grant you my pleasure, so I will never be displeased with you again. I will grant you my pleasure, so I will never be displeased with you again. And if Allah is never displeased with you again, then you're going to be in a good condition. Then the Shaykh quoted another continuation of the Hadith. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the veil between His servants and Himself, and then they will be able to see Him, and they will look at His face, Jalla Jalaluhu wa taqaddasat asma'u, laysa kamithlihi shay' wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir. There is nothing like unto Him. When we say Allah's face, it is not like the face of anything you've ever seen. So don't think of a human being face with nose and eyes and ears and this, you know, the features of the children of Adam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unlike His creation. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's none equal to Him. So any image you have, delete it. Because you are wrong. Whatever you are imagining Allah, it is not correct. So don't imagine Allah Jalla Jalalu وَتَقَدَّسَتْ أَسْمَعُ. Then after people are raised to Jannah, the death will be brought in the form of a sheep, a big fat sheep. And it will be slaughtered in front of the people of Jannah, in front of the people of the fire. And it will be said to the people of Jannah, قُلُودٌ بِلَ مَوْتٍ. They will eternity without death. And it will be said to the people of Jahannam also, قُلُودٌ بِلَ مَوْتٍ. Eternity without death. Meaning you will eternally abide in Jahannam for the disbelievers. Of course the Muslim who enters Jahannam in the beginning stage, but dies with his tawheed sound, he will eventually be permitted to Jannah. But this is after he goes for the penalty. But for the kuffar, they will never leave Jahannam wal-iyadu billah. This is why the most important thing, ya akhwan, in our life is understanding tawheed and understanding shirk. So we will live according to tawheed and prevent ourselves from shirk. When the Muslims did not do that, they fell into the grave worshipping. They fell into worshipping the righteous people, onto calling unto other than Allah. This is how the destruction of the ummah began. By Muslims not paying attention to Tawheed. And the only thing that will save us from the eternity in Jahannam is Tawheed. You may be sinful, you may be doing all of the sins, but if you don't associate corners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are qualified for Jannah, sooner or later. But for the one who denies his Tawheed, he ruins his Tawheed, then this person is outside Islam. If he dies while committing shirk with Allah, he's not even among the Muslims. So then this person will not be among the inhabitants of Jannah, not in the beginning and not later on. Allahu musta'an. Then he quoted some verses from the Quran, actually before that he said, "Verily, if the people of Jannah, if anyone wants to die from extreme happiness, it will be with the people of Jannah. If anyone wants to die because of being so happy, then the people of Jannah would have died from being so happy, but they will not. And if anyone wants to die because of sadness, it will be the people of Jahannam. They would die of sadness, but as the Shaykh read in the Quran, ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيى. He does not die therein, nor does he live. Meaning you don't die where you don't feel punishment, and you don't live the life of someone who is being honored. You're living a life of disgrace, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. وَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ قَالُوا إِنَّا كُنَّا قَبْلُ فِي أَهْلِنَا مُشْفِقِينَ فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ إِنَّا كُنَّا مِنْ قَبْلُ نَدْعُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْبَرُّ الرَّحِيمُ. And they will come to one another, questioning each other. They will say, "Verily, we used to be," meaning in this life, "always afraid of the punishment of Allah. Among our family, we were always worried from Jahannam, always worried from the punishment, always worried from deviance. Then Allah has bestowed His favors upon us, and He has protected us from the punishment of Jahannam." They will say this in Jannah. "Verily, we used to call upon Him, inna kunna nad'u," not His creation. "We used to call upon Him back in the dunya. Verily, He is the most generous, the most merciful." Then he quoted some poetry that was written by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, where he said, "Verily, by Allah, if you really miss Jannah, then you will spend the most virtuous of wealth." Ya shabab, barakallah fiqh. "You will spend the most virtuous of wealth in order to attain Jannah. Ya sil'at al-Rahman lasti raqisatan bal anti ghaliyatan ala al-kaslani." Oh, sil'ah is like an item in a store, merchandise. Yani, oh, item which is a product that you buy of Allah, which is the Jannah. You are not cheap. You are not cheap. Verily, you are expensive for the lazy one. For the lazy one, it costs a lot of money. Not for the righteous brother. Ya sil'at al-Rahman ayn al-mushtari. Oh, product of Allah, which is Jannah. Where is the one purchaser? Where is the purchaser? Who is he who will purchase it? Verily, you have been presented with the cheapest of cost. It's on sale. Jannah is on sale. What do you need? Iman and righteous deeds. If you were to buy Jannah with money, can anyone afford it? Not even an inch in Jannah. With all the things you mentioned, gold and pearls and diamonds, no one can afford to buy Jannah with his money, right? But you can afford it with iman and righteous deeds. So it has been presented with the cheapest of prices. But subhanAllah, you know the condition of the Muslims. Oh, product of the most merciful, which is Jannah. Is there anyone who's willing to get engaged to you as an engagement? The mahr, which is nowadays 30,000 riyals, among some groups, the mahr is affordable now before death. Now you could, you know, you could get the mahr, which is again believing and doing righteous deeds. Oh, product of the most merciful. How do those who want to get engaged with you, how can they be patient if they truly believe, from staying away from you and not striving to be among your inhabitants? So then the Shaykh quoted the last part of the poetry. So strive, exert yourself today, be tired in a sense for that approaching appointment, which is the day of judgment. You will find your comfort, your real comfort and satisfaction on the second appointment. Not this appointment, this is when we strive, this is the examination, this is the test of the dunya. But you will be paid for it in the ultimate sense, إِنَّمَا as Allah says in the Quran, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Every soul should taste death, and you will really be given your full recompense on the day of judgment, not today. You may do good today, but people belittle you. You may do good today, but people don't pay attention to that. You're doing it for the sake of Allah, but you will not be given what even in the dunya Allah may test you with calamities. But you will really get paid for your striving in the hereafter, in the second appointment on the day of judgment. And this was the rough
organization in summary of the Shaykh's khutbah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. جزاكم الله خير.